Democrats are moving ahead with their push to remove President Trump from office 9 days before President-elect Joe Biden will be sworn in. This morning, House Dems asked for consideration of a unanimous consent bill that calls on Vice President Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump from office. A West Virginia Republican blocked it. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she'd still bring the bill to the floor. Meanwhile, House Democrats also introduced a new article of impeachment against Trump for inciting last week's insurrection at the U.S. Capitol building. Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said there could be a vote as soon as Wednesday. Over the weekend on ABC's This Week, former New Jersey Republican governor and longtime Trump ally Chris Christie told host George Stephanopoulos he supports impeachment.
What we had was an incitement to riot at the United States Capitol. We had people killed. To me, there's not a whole lot of question here. So, you know.
So you think it was an impeachable offense?
I said before, Jordan. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Also this weekend, Twitter permanently banned Trump out of concerns that his tweets could lead to more violence, particularly around Biden's inauguration. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think President Trump should be removed from his office this close to the end of his presidency? Do you think he should be impeached or not? Are you worried about more violence breaking out between now and Inauguration Day? What do you think of the move by Twitter to ban President Trump's personal account? What do you want to see happen next? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Tim Hagel is Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you.
Well, a lot happening last week and since. What are your thoughts on where we're at right now?
Well, there's certainly a lot going on, as you're noting all the questions that your callers could weigh in on. You know, it's hard to say. I think that we're certainly at a flashpoint to a certain extent, and then maybe more so on last Wednesday, than we are right now. I think to a certain extent, some people are sort of cooling their heels at this point. Maybe it was actually a good thing. I'm not really in favor of Twitter having banned Trump, but maybe it's a good thing to the extent that he's off and he gets a chance to sort of reflect on what's going on. We don't really know what he's thinking necessarily. I think he did join Clout Hub, Parler. He may have been on there, but they got pulled from the web. So, you know, it's really hard to say. I think to a certain extent, too, that maybe there's a bit of an overreaction. Trump may have crossed the line in terms of what he was saying. I don't know that I would go so far as to say it was incitement. I think of this in terms of the advocacy of violation of the law statutes that would provide an exception to free speech sorts of things. But on the other hand, it was a very volatile situation, and most people would understand that you have to be careful in that. And certainly what the riot that we saw afterwards was a proof of that.
What do you think needs to happen when it comes to examining what happened from a security standpoint? And we had the numbers 1 through 3 people in the line of succession after the sitting president, all in the Capitol complex as the mob came in, not being screened by security, violence obviously happening there, questions about the Capitol Police, National Guard response. What format should this all be reviewed on to see what went wrong and how to prevent that in the future?
Well, to some extent, we've been getting some information along those lines in terms of, did the Capitol Police request some additional assistance from the Department of Defense, the National Guard, the Army? What was going on there? We're sort of hearing kind of conflicting stories, no surprise there. So perhaps the thing that Congress really ought to do is to dig into that a little bit and find out. Now, whether you think that it was intended, the mob that was going over, the protesters at first, which eventually became a mob in terms of what they were doing. And, you know, some of the people initially went in very peacefully. I saw some of the clips people were walking in the rotunda between the House and the Senate and were even staying in between the rope lines, which I thought was amusing if they were supposed to be a mob. But on the other hand, you also saw clips of people that were smashing doors and windows. And of course, the woman that was killed, the police officer that eventually died. And so things did happen at a certain point, but I don't know that it was necessarily intended of that at the first, and as people initially approached the Capitol. But given all of that, when you have a large number of people in Washington, D.C., that usually you do have additional security. And it was certainly no surprise why they were there. And if people were concerned about having that many people on hand, then there should have been additional security of one sort or another, whether it was the National Guard or additional police supplementing the Capitol Police. Again, that's something that perhaps Congress should investigate.
Now, we saw in the lead up to last Wednesday a lot of social media action calling on storming the Capitol, some calls for violence amid that. Now we're seeing reports of people saying, you know, we need armed protests at state capitals, the Washington Monument shut down by the Park Service between now and the inauguration. What would you want to hear from President Trump himself to try to dial down that at least potential for more violence between now and Inauguration Day?
Yeah, what we would like to hear is, to some extent, what he has said immediately, well, maybe not so immediately, but after the riot that occurred and the violence and the vandalism, was basically saying, look, if you're going to protest, protest peacefully. That's what he wanted. And many people, of course, not just President Trump, but many other Republican leaders came out and said, look, it needs to be peaceful. We don't condone this violence. Republicans are supposed to be the party of law and order. Maybe that message is getting through, maybe not. Of course, now that Trump is no longer on Twitter, he's not able to send out that message to his millions, tens of millions of followers the way he would normally be able to do so. To some extent, that's why it's a bad thing that Trump was banned from Twitter. But on the other hand, if the concern was he was going to say something that was further incite people, then again, that may be a concern as well. But yeah, the folks need to use the media, whether it's Trump, other media, whether it's Trump or other Republican leaders, to say, look, this needs to go peacefully. Trump said he wants to have a peaceful transmission of power or transition of power, and hopefully that will happen.
Talking to Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa, looking at the latest in the aftermath of last Wednesday at the Capitol, calls for impeachment of the president or his removal from office or his resignation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Tim, before we bring on our callers, some people have pointed to the president and others continuing to say, hey, this election was stolen, as, you know, still maybe not inciting, but reinforcing the thing that has people angry in the first place. Do you want to see that kind of message change now?
Well, to a certain extent, it should. We've gone through the process as is appropriate and is under the laws in terms of a variety of challenges, recounts, reexaminations, court cases, and so forth. And it seems that there have been mistakes made, fraud necessarily in small measure or counting errors or whatever you want to, however you want to characterize it. But it seems to be the consensus for most people that there wasn't enough there to actually change the votes in any of the states, let alone enough to change the Electoral College result. And so in that sense, you have to maybe still complain about looking towards improving the system in the future, but you have to accept the results as is. And that seems to be what is lacking, at least on the part of President Trump. And certainly he's unhappy about it. But then you kind of go back, and it wasn't to the same degree, of course, but a lot of people were unhappy in 2016 or 2004 or even 2000. So people are usually unhappy if they're on the losing end of something. The question is there enough there in some way to suggest that there was something untoward, if not illegal, going on that would have changed the result? And it just doesn't seem that there was enough of that this time to have made a difference.
Let's go to our callers now. Joe is with us in Manitowoc. Joe, hi.
Hi. Hello.
Yes, what do you want to bring up, Joe?
You know, the question, even Chris Christie is saying that what he did was impeachable, and I guess it doesn't matter how close we are to the end of his term. If he's done something impeachable, he should be out, and that's coming from a lifelong Republican who says we also need to take his pardon power away.
Joe, thanks for the call. And we've seen two Republican senators, Murkowski from Alaska, Toomey from Pennsylvania, saying they'd like to see the president out of office nowish, one way or another. Tim, what do you think?
Well, it seems a little inappropriate to try to rush through an impeachment. The last time, of course, it took a very long time. The two sides had to gather together their facts and present them and so forth. And with 8-9 days left, something like that, 9 days left, it just doesn't seem that there would be enough time for an impeachment, let alone have any kind of trial in the Senate. Now, there's some talk about being able to do that after Trump's left office. I'm not sure that that would necessarily be possible. The Constitution basically provides that the idea of impeachment is to remove somebody from office. And once you're already out, you're done. Now, you mentioned the idea that, well, you know, what happens if all of a sudden Trump pardons a whole bunch of people as he's out the door? Well, presidents kind of often do that. The concern might be as to whether Trump's going to do so in ways that would be considered by many people inappropriate. So there is, I suppose, that concern. But again, you don't want to be in a position where it seemed like it's a political rush job kind of a thing, because that will just further incense his base.
We're talking about calls to remove President Trump from office, the aftermath of last week's events from the Capitol, and more with Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see the president impeached for, as the article of impeachment says, inciting the mob that stormed the Capitol last week? Is it worth trying to impeach him with just a handful of days left in his presidency? What do you think about the idea of Twitter permanently banning the president's personal account? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about an effort by congressional Democrats to remove President Trump from office. Today, House Dems moved to bring up a resolution urging the vice president to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove the president. That was blocked. Democrats also introduced a new article of impeachment. Could be a vote on that, charging Trump with inciting an insurrection. Short of that, his presidency will end on the 20th. Tim Hagel stays with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to your calls now. John is with us in Shell Lake. John, hi.
Hello.
John, hi. You're on the air. What did you want to bring up?
Well, yeah, I definitely think, well, I don't know if impeachment is the right thing because it's so close to the end anyway, but I think he should be out of there like today, because who knows what kind of lunacy he's going to come up with between now and the 20th. But I also wanted to mention, I think he should be jailed, but I think that'll come after he leaves the office. But I want to mention that I think your guest, Tim Hagel, there is part of the problem with this whole thing, with people whitewashing over Trump's actions and his speeches and saying, oh, this isn't that bad. I don't think he really meant that. And he made a nice speech the day after saying that these people don't represent the country. The only reason he made that speech was to try to get his butt out of the frying pan a little bit.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Tim, John saying we shouldn't minimize the president's words and the impact they had, and John worried about what the president might do in his handful of days remaining in office.
Well, as far as that last part, in terms of what the president might do, that's something that we've already mentioned in terms of, could it be a very large number of pardons for people that others don't think should be pardoned? Could it be release of classified information? Some people are calling for certain types of information to be released in terms of these investigations of one sort or another. Could Trump all of a sudden do that? And if he were to do so beyond what would seem to be reasonable, it could certainly hurt us in terms of national security in various ways. So yes, Trump certainly could do those sorts of things. On the other hand, hopefully, and we need to get some information on this, that his closest advisors, those that are remaining since several of them quit, are hopefully advising him, okay, now is the time to tone it down. Now, maybe his speech after the riot was sort of an indication that he understood that he went too far and that he needs to make sure that his supporters aren't going to engage in violent behavior between now and the inauguration. We don't know for sure. And certainly you're getting some messages from the FBI saying that there have been some threats of various sorts. And certainly there are groups that are out there on both the left and the right that will take advantage of situations like this to create havoc of one sort or another. So we certainly have to be on guard for those sorts of things, more so now than in other times. But, you know, again, with 8 or 9 days left, it's hard to say that you can get something quickly enough through impeachment, as I was saying, or even the 25th Amendment, which doesn't seem to be happening. Some people just suggested that Trump should resign, but I'm not sure that that's going to do much good in the 9 days that are left either, except, of course, to get him out.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Cindy now in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. Well, I'm really disappointed they're not talking, invoking the 25th Amendment. This man is so dangerous, and he's not smart like a fox dangerous. He is ignorant and mean-spirited dangerous, and that is the worst kind. He needs to go, he needs to be impeached, and he needs to be banned from Twitter permanently. I don't want him to ever run for president again.
Cindy, thanks a lot for the call. Let's jump on her last point there. We haven't talked too much, though. You referenced it earlier, Tim, the Twitter ban of the president. Their Twitter saying and Facebook also raising concerns that the president might incite further violence and so shutting him down from social media as a result. You touched on that earlier. You're not wild about the idea. Talk about that a little more, please.
No, I'm not wild about it, mainly because I'd like to see what his thinking is, what his thoughts are. Has he realized that he went too far, and is he pulling back, and is he being more circumspect in what he's talking about, or would he in fact do something like that? Twitter can always suspend him for short periods of time or require certain tweets to be removed, as they did in previously with even Trump and some others as well. But to ban him permanently kind of leaves us questioning, well, what is his thinking right now? How angry is he? Is he going to fly off the handle in some way, like some people believe? Or is he basically said, oh, boy, I messed up here. And so now I have to try to fix this or at least try to be quiet for the remaining time of his term. We don't know. Now, Trump may pop up. As I said, I think that he's on Cloud Hub now. He had been on Parler. We're not sure if Parler is going to come make a reappearance. It's going to have to find some different servers since Amazon booted them off their Amazon Web Services. So we'll have to wait and see if he makes a reappearance and to what extent people want to hear what he has to say. Certainly his core supporters do, but even his enemies might want to hear what he has to say just to keep an ear on that or an eye on it. If you're reading it, you want to know what people that you don't like are saying as much as those that you do.
The president does have a press room. He could summon reporters anytime. He could do TV interviews. He does have a lot of other ways to talk to us outside of Twitter. Do you expect to see him talk through those other means anytime soon?
Probably not. He actually was pretty accessible in his presidency. He would often talk to the press as he was going to or from the helicopter to go one place or another. And so in that sense, he did field a lot of questions. But at certain times, he basically would prefer Twitter because it's a more direct route to his supporters, as opposed to being filtered through the media in various ways and or the types of questions he would get in a press conference type of situation. And my guess is that he's just not going to do that too much between now and Inauguration Day, simply because of the situation that we now find ourselves in.
Talking to Tim Hagel, a political scientist at the University of Iowa, looking at all the stuff going on in our nation's capital. Back to your calls. Edward is with us in Lena, Illinois. Edward, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What'd you want to bring up?
Well, I want to bring up the fact that everything that takes place on the media here is so censored that anybody from the right doesn't have a chance to say anything. Because there's so many problems that take place. The censorship that goes ahead and takes place, even with him blocking his Twitter account and even going ahead and shutting him out of Facebook, he's the president of the United States. There's no respect at all. When we start talking about the loitering and we start talking about the riots that took place at the Capitol, that's all a bunch of bull. That was just a protest. That's what it was. It isn't anything like we've seen Black Lives Matter this whole last year with them destroying...
A police officer did die after being beaten by the crowd. I mean, it's a little different, isn't it, Edward?
Oh, you're talking about one individual, and you're talking about some people that get out of hand. No different than Antifa or anybody else that shows up with all these Black Lives Matters. And also having Kamala Harris go ahead and show up and say that they have a right to do this, and they should continue to go ahead and do it. So you want to talk about treason. That's treason.
Edward, thanks for the call. Tim, Edward expressing the views of a lot of people saying what happened at the Capitol, no different than what happened at protests over the summer.
Yeah, and that's the problem that those who don't like what happened at the Capitol have, is that a lot of the people, prominent people, Democrats and folks on the left, were reluctant to criticize what was going on in the protests that started in the summer and have basically continued. And the BLM folks will say that, look, we wanted to protest peacefully, and for the most part, that may have been true, but you also had Antifa that sort of infiltrated those protests, and often it became violent, businesses burned, vandalism, looting, and so forth. And so if that was condoned, then, you know, what's going on here? Well, the situations aren't exactly the same. And depending on what your point of view is, you can probably say, well, this one's worse than this other one kind of a thing. Or maybe they're the same. Maybe they're different. So there's a lot to be argued there. But there's also the concern that, well, look, if you are going to be concerned about violent action, you need to be criticizing it across the board.
The intent of this one, and thanks for that call, by the way, the intent of this one, the stated intent of the crowd at the Capitol was to overturn the election result. They wanted the vice president to step in or members of Congress to flip the election result. Does that make it a little different from the big picture perspective?
Well, I think more than anything else, what made it different was the fact that it was the Capitol, and that basically that has sort of a visual effect to it that really upset a lot of people, a lot of Republicans, too. I don't know that the sort of the mob, if you want to call it that, that went over there, that they had the specific intent to overturn an election necessarily. To a certain extent, their belief was still that the senators, Cruz and Hawley and several others that were going to object to this was still part of the process. This was something that has happened in the past. Democrats had objected to the wins by Bush and Trump in 2016. And so in that sense, it wasn't totally unusual. It got more attention this time because Trump had basically since Election Day been complaining about this and had tried everything, all those court cases and so forth, even though they were unsuccessful. And this was maybe a last ditch effort. If the goal was to go over there and just protest and hear their voices, there's nothing wrong with that. That leaders of, you know, whatever ideological stripe will often have their supporters march on the Capitol and so forth. But again, the problem here, obviously, was that at some point, some people took it upon themselves to become violent about it, storm the Capitol and break down doors, break glass and so forth. And as was indicated, a woman was killed and a police officer eventually died too. And so that makes it obviously much more serious.
Tim, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
You're very welcome.
Tim Hagel is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. We looked at the move to impeach President Trump for his role in last week's mob at the U.S. Capitol building.